to be here. And Brother Jimmy, he was preaching about supporting missionaries. I was looking around, and I'm just used to being around friends is the way I feel like it, about Brother Nathan and Brother Adam and Brother Cross, of course, here, and Brother Knox. And I don't think about it, but all but Brother Jimmy supports me. So that hit me during the message. I just met Brother Jimmy here recently. But I do appreciate all the men supported us. And 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll be heading back to Sri Lanka for a month to wrap all that up. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate everything y'all done for us to get to serve in the gospel together. And as you were saying that stuff about money and all that, and every bit of it's true. But I tell you, God's given us such good people in our lives. Every part of the mission experience for us has been, it's been wonderful. It's been one deputation. We started at the beginning of 2020. And, I mean, we were just trying to follow the Lord. COVID hit. And just the way the Lord took care of it, we sold what little bit we had. And didn't have any debt, but we didn't have anything saved. And lived in a parsonage. And so we sold off a couple of used cars and went and got, don't crucify us, but got in debt a little bit. Got a truck and a camper. And then we just waited on the Lord to pay for it. He took care of us. We called a little bit, people we knew, and come March or April, I don't know, I didn't call many people after that. See, my car phone started ringing, and just the Lord just took care of us. And so we have a faithful Lord. And I appreciate you being faithful. And then Brother Nathan said something about his parents coming and following him around, and my parents are here. And stuff they've done for me and helped me since I've been saved, and all the mess I put them through early on, they've been good to me, and I appreciate them being here. I remember when I first got saved, I wanted to do something. I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a letter to every senator and House representative in the whole nation, president, vice president, Supreme Court justices, and it was kind of out there, and next thing I know, my parents bought all the stamps, bought all the envelopes, paid for all the copies, and I got a book somewhere in some file cabinet with letters that we got responses from all that. And they've been that way for us ever since we tried to serve the Lord. And I appreciate them helping us. Anyway, they've done a lot for us. I can keep on and on. All right, let's pray together. And wish I could put a lot of balm on you after all that we just heard, but I can't. We're going to keep going. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, just thank you so much for letting us be here together. And Lord, I said this last time I was up here, just to be able to open your word together, read it together, and just fellowship together. And Lord, it's a great privilege that we have. I'm thankful that we can sit here with confidence that we have your word. We don't have to second guess that. We just need you to guide us in truth. And Father, I sure want to be a help. That's really my desire. And Lord, I know I need you to do that. So please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 18 is what I have. The Bible says, but I have all. Of course, Paul saying, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And then he calls these things an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, it started there with that but, that conjunction, and if you backed up the verse number 15, to kind of connects it, he said, now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. And Brother Jimmy's talking about it. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. And then you cut, and it says, but ye, but then you skip down to verse 18, says, but I have all. I have all. Nobody communicated with me, but I still have everything I need. He said, I have all. And I abound, and I am full. And he says, having received the things which were sent from you. Well, I don't know this. Sometimes these Bible calls, it makes me nervous because you'll say something, and there'll be one verse that probably counters what you say, and everybody probably in the whole building knows the verse is set for you. And so that makes me kind of nervous. But I don't know. I don't know if Paul in a dungeon. I don't know that. You know, he did have a house arrest that talks about. At the end of Acts, chapter number 28, he was in his own hired house. And there's some verses, even if you backed up, or I'm not going to go forward preaching it, but verse 21 says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And then he says in verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So I don't know. Maybe you know. I don't know. I don't know if he's in a dungeon. I don't know if he's in a hired house. I do know this. I know being over Sri Lanka, we had a couple hospital stays. My boy, he got sick. I had to stay overnight in those hospitals. They don't give you bed sheets over there. You got to bring your own bed sheets. And if you want food, unless you want some big spoon out of a bucket, when they dump it on your plate, you don't know what's in it. You don't know what it is. It's real water. Unless you want to eat something like that, you got to get your own food. You got to bring it. They're not going to give you free medicine. They're not going to touch you until you pay something. And so I don't know what kind of situation he's in, but I know he needed some help. Paul needed some help where he was. And so these things that were sent to him, I don't know, probably money, probably clothes. Maybe he asked for books somewhere else. Maybe little Debbie snacks. I don't know what he got in those packages. We were over there. I'm telling you, we got some packages while we were over there. And you don't think you'd like little Debbie's, but you go over there and have a box of little Debbie's delivered to your house and cereal and beef jerky and all these things. One time we had this girl from Texas. She said, I'm going to send you, She said, we're going to send you a box of stuff. They went out, man. I bet they spent $500 on stuff. And then we saw the shipping that they shipped it over, $500. And then it got to where we were. We went to go pick that thing up. You know what it cost us? $500. And I didn't want to use it. I mean, it was just going to be little Debbie stacks and beef jerky. I knew what it was going to be. And I thought, man, they spent all that money on that. We got to send pictures with us opening it. And so we did it. We did it. And here's the worst part. We opened that box up, and they had sent some laundry detergent. And the people in customs opened it and didn't close it back good. And so you eat an oatmeal cookie with little Debbie, it tastes like flowers. Because it $1,500. One time, I'm not staying out here telling stories all the time, but trying to get these nerves out. We were in Colombo in the capital. We had to go 8 hours to go pick up them. I'm telling you, it'd be best to send money to people. Don't send packages to people. Just send them a lot of money, and that would help them. We had to drive 8 hours to pick this box up. We didn't know what was in it. We got down there. And we're sitting there, we're waiting, wait. And then they motion you come. We go up to the desk. They say, come behind the desk. I said, okay. We come out. I said, let's have your passports. And now they're holding our passports, and we're behind the desk. And here comes a custom officer right beside us, and somebody sent us protein powder. And so they're testing that protein powder, make sure we have no big shipment coming in. Anyway, just send money, brother. Just send us money, and that's all. But these, he said, the things which were, these were more than just things. These were more than just things. Look at verse number 10, what he said. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, look at this, your care of me. This was more than just things. I mean, these things came to him and he needed these things, but these things represented more than just a jacket or a cloak. It was more than just some parchments or a book. This was somebody that cared for him, somebody that cared. I'm telling you, you're over there. It's a blessing to hear for some people, and it's more than just a couple of things. It's that somebody cares about the ministry, and so that's a blessing. So your care for me. And then the Bible says in verse 18 that Epaphroditus, he was the one that was carrying these things, so he was the face of these things. And if you go back to chapter number 2, it just tells you just a little bit about him. And I just look at this just quickly. Chapter 2, verse number 25. It says, but I suppose that necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Look, this is the face of the one carrying the things, my brother. And look at this, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. You know, to serve the Lord, it takes the whole body. This thing about notches in our belt, it drives me so crazy. And I know this isn't the crowd, but this, how many souls did you win? And that's kind of old talk. I don't hear a lot of people talk about it. The people I hang around don't talk like that. But I've heard that kind of talk. How many did you win? How many did you get this Saturday? It's almost like little notches that I won that person. And people don't think real straight. I mean, you got to go out there and knock the door, and maybe you got to lead them, whatever even all that means. But there was a lot of people involved in that person's life that all contributed to that person being saved. And it's a lot the same way with church planting. We give people passes with that, but I planted this church and I planted. I'll tell you, one person don't just go and plant many churches. I know I haven't been everywhere, but I know where I've been. And to think you're going to walk into somewhere where there's been no church established for 6,000 years and everybody in there believes a certain way, you think you're going to go in there with 1 year, tell them one little thing and that you revolutionized the area and you started the church? Man, if anything started there, there had to be somebody to come and plow somewhere before you ever got there. That man was on the internet listening to some messages. And so this thing about serving the Lord is not just about one person. It's about this group of people at Philippi and Epaphroditus and Paul all doing their own part. And what I like about what brother just preached and then my verse too is that, you know, God's people are given people. And I want to show just a few things right here, and then I'll get to saying some things. But God's people are given people because our God, He's a giving God. Our God is a good God. He's a giving God. And I want to turn to a few places. Brother Costas quoted this, but we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. About everybody here probably quote it. I remember starting to teach over there in a place where they didn't have a lot of teaching. And just started in Genesis 1. And I talked to these people, Hindu people out there trying to get their God's attention, a God that's filthy. I'm talking about the filthiest religion probably on the earth. And hateful and devilish. I don't know how many times we ride down the road, we see men hanging by hooks on a crane and just bouncing up and down. I mean, I'm talking about going down there and bouncing. You can see their skin pulling. Because they're trying to get attention of a God that, first of all, doesn't exist, but they're sacrificing the devils, a God that hates them. But you and I sit here, and we serve a wonderful God, a good God. And I know there's that prosperity side that blows all that stuff, and it messes up some people, but we're not to get in the other ditch and balance them out. We stay right where we are. We serve a good God. And to get to take the Bible and start in Genesis chapter number 1, and show them that the true God of heaven, He created everything that you see, everything that's beautiful, everything that you can enjoy. God gave us all these things richly to enjoy. He didn't make those mountains for Himself and the sun for Him. He was okay without all those things. But when He made that garden and that beautiful place, He didn't make that for Him. He was going to take a man and put him right there in the middle. And He was proving that from the beginning, He's always been a good God. And our Savior's good. He's a good God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 6. Brother Cross just quoted it, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. And he quoted it, but I just want to read it, get moving a little bit. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves givers because He's a giver. God loves it when He sees that cheerful giving. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel, just talking about God and how He is a good God that loves to give. And He loves to give bountifully. Ezekiel chapter number 16. I just got to read a little bit in Exodus. And you know, it was good enough for Him to redeem Israel out of that land. I mean, he got Moses. He did all the miracles. He did all the plagues. If He just brought them out naked, it'd have been okay. It'd have been enough. He said, but before you go, go borrow all the gold you can, all the earrings you can, go borrow from all the people around you so that you can come out with something. And I know it all redounds back to the glory of God, but God's a good God. He's a liberal, bountiful giver to us. Ezekiel chapter number 16, and we're not going to read all this, but you know about the baby found in the field, and the Lord likened that baby that was polluted in His own blood to Israel. And he said in verse number 8, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and away from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skins. And I girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk." Now, he goes a little extra when he talks about silk. He goes a little extra when he talks about fine linen. But clothing somebody, giving somebody what they need to wear, all that's necessities. But he doesn't stop in verse number 10. He says in verse number 11, "I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck." They didn't need any of that, but he said, "I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ear, and a beautiful crown upon thy head." So you think that's too much? Well, look what he says in verse 13. "Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful." He took that nation. It says, "I dolled you up, and I went past the necessity, and I went way beyond, and I took care of you like somebody that was wealthy and somebody is rich, because that's my character. I'm a good God. I'm a bountiful giver, and He wants us to be that kind of giver." I like what he said to David said when he was going to make the temple. You know, you can build a building. And Brother Knox building this building, and somebody mentioned already how much a lot of money. But David said that I love this Lord. In 1 Chronicles 22:7, he said they're going to build the house of God for the Lord, and it's going to be exceeding magnificent. Ain't that one of the best things in the Bible? He was not going to take rules. I mean, that's just how to represent God the right way. And that's the whole thing about what I talk about. He said back there in Philippians chapter number 4, Paul said, "But I have all and abound." He didn't just say I had just the bare necessities. And I know sometimes he did. I mean, he said that earlier. We covered that already in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And he says, "Then I know how to be full and to be hungry, but to abound and suffer need." So he's been through these things. But when the Church of Philippi sends this gift, he says, "I just don't have the necessities, the bare necessities. You sent so much that I'm full, and it's abounding. It's overflowing how much you give us." And God's like that. I mean, he told David, when David sinned and Nathan the prophet came, he said, "Thou art the man." And he said, "You know what I did? I made you this, and I gave you this, and I gave you this, and I gave you this, and this one." He says, "If that would have been too little, I'd have give you such and such things. I'd give you a whole boatload of things." And so he said here that he abounded, "But I have all, and I abound. That means plenty, overflow, running over. That means the church went above the necessity. The church went above the necessity. Now, I know Paul's not a novice. And, I mean, Paul's worked. He's skilled. He's a laborer. He could handle a little bit of abounding. I mean, we've already talked about in all these messages, learn how to moderate and how to think upon the right things and how to be content. You know, I remember early. Saved at 25, and my life was a mess. We were in debt into our eyeballs. And man, when I got saved, I wanted to serve the Lord so bad. I started going up to this little church that had classes, and they taught something about getting out of debt. I never even thought about it, really. And he talked about, man, if you're going to serve the Lord, you got to be out of debt. And he said, first thing you do is quit spending money. And then he said, go get another job. And I thought, man, I got to do that stuff. And so, man, we did that. I remember $6 dates. My pastor said when we started serving the Lord, he goes, now make sure you take a little night with your wife. Make sure you keep a date night. Don't give up that date night with your wife. I thought, man, we're trying not to spend money. We don't have money. We're in debt. We'd go to a Mexican restaurant. We'd order water and drink. We'd eat those chips till we got about halfway full. Then we'd order one appetizer. Really. $6. We'd be out on a date. Then we'd go look in stores, not buy one thing. Just to get out of debt. And man, youth pastor, they'd get a little bit of money for youth pastor, working full time. I'd stop and clean a janitorial cat on the way home and umpire baseball with my dad. And then nights I wasn't umpiring, I'd go deliver pizzas. And we did all those. I mean, I remember those times. But I'm telling you, here's Paul, and it's God says, it's okay. He says, there's time. It's okay to abound sometimes. And sometimes we think, I guess I was thinking about a lot of young people in here. And sometimes you get the idea you're more spiritual. And Brother Nathan was hitting on this a little bit. You're more spiritual if you don't have anything. And obviously you think that because you got real quiet when I said that. Sometimes you think you're more spiritual because you don't have anything. And there's times like that where it comes. But having nothing doesn't make you spiritual. And I want to look at maybe a little bit. I'm not trying to persuade somebody out of what they already believe. Everybody's got to be persuaded in their own mind what they do in life. But when it comes to giving, it's okay to overshoot it sometimes. I mean, when you're sending money to somebody, you're trying to take care of somebody, you'll always have to look at the bare necessity and just, I mean, heal in this a little bit. It's okay to let somebody abound every now and then. It's okay to overshoot. In fact, he abounded, verse 18. He says, I abound. And look at the last phrase in the whole verse. It was well pleasing to God. It was what this sacrifice that produced more than what he needed. It was plenteous. It overflowed. God said, I'm well pleased with it. That's okay. That's okay. And I thought about some different things. This stingy kind of giving. You know, I got my check and I made $961.72. And so I got to go times 0.10. And that equals 96.172. And that 2 is under the 5, so I'm going to round down. And 96.17. Here's my offer for the week. Brother, I'm telling you, Brother Adam's such a blessing. We go out up there to Michigan and go out with him. He's had such the best relationships with people in these restaurants. I mean, it's amazing. Every restaurant we go, he eats out a lot, Brother Brown, really. Because you don't know people like this unless you've been there a lot. But it's true, everywhere we go, I mean, he treats us so good. And then we go out to these restaurants, these girls come out, and you tell them they don't go to church, but Brother Adam gets to talk to, I mean, he'll say something about the Lord, and I'm telling you, I've seen him write the bill and give that tip. And I'm telling you, this stingy kind of Christianity is such a turnoff. And we think it's spiritual to say, well, God only requires 10%, and so if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for my waitress. And you're not spiritual, it's really silly thinking. It's just not smart thinking. I'm talking too much, telling too many stories. My pastor hates skyscraper preaching. I'm sitting here doing all that stuff. I remember being young in the Lord, riding through McDonald's with my wife, and this man was driving, and we were going through McDonald's. It wasn't like we were going to Longhorn, Ruth's Chris, and we were going to McDonald's, and she wanted a combo of a value meal. He turned around and said, these women, they're always running up the bill on you, and he meant it. Do you say that? That's the nerve-wracking thing about the verses. You know there's one somewhere. What about the church fussing about spending? There's always somebody. There's always somebody. You want to do something, and it's why are we spending this, and why are we... And I thought that Romans 12 says, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Just When we do what Brother Jimmy says, and the box is in the back, or the plate comes, or you mail it in through, what's your address? It goes from your hand to God. And your hand's off, and we let go. And this stingy give it and worry about every penny that's being spent, it's not spiritual one bit. In fact, it's carnal. And the Philippian church, they took good care of Paul. At least this time they did. And they gave more than they needed. We had a neighbor. We had a neighbor when I pastored, and she was a Primitive Baptist. And they bragged so much about not paying their pastor. And she is such a sweet lady. She's so sweet. She'd say, you know, our pastor, we don't give him no money. You know, the Bible says, take no food for your journey, take no bread, take no money. That's what it says, take no money for your journey. I think, man, if you just read a little longer, they took two coats later on. If you just, pretty silly. I'd say the church would be good for the church to be good to the pastor. Not stingy. And the deacons, it's worth thinking about. To me, in this verse, it's all I can think. I mean, I'm telling you, I looked at this verse. I didn't have sleep last night. All I can see is that Paul abounded, and God was well pleased. I'm not saying in here, Brother Cross, your church, whatever you do. I honestly don't care. I don't care about none of it. I'm not saying he ought to make more than everybody. I'm not saying he ought to have nicer things than everyone. But if he did, it'd be okay. It'd be okay. We're not talking about the crowd that you're thinking of. That's not us. Everything Paul's getting, he's turning it back into ministry. It's redounding to the thanksgiving unto God. It's not. He's not going to hold on to this stuff and sit around and watch cable TV all week. It's worth just thinking about. What do we do for? And I know every church operates different. I try to change any of that stuff. But I know God's not going to fuss about giving him too much. But he might fuss if you don't give enough. I'm trying to get it. I need it. I don't know what I'm going to make. Look at chapter 4, verse number 15. He said, "Now you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, I depart from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. But, you know, thank God for this church." Go back to chapter 2, verse 29. Chapter 2, verse 29. "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ," you're talking about Epaphroditus, "was nigh unto death, not regarding his life." Why? Look what Paul says to supply your lack of service towards me. He don't fuss one time about giving to where he bounds. But when things start lacking, God puts something in there about it. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 5, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles," Paul speaking obviously, "but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. Look, have I committed an offense in the base of myself that you might be exalted, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely?" And then look what he had to say in verse number 8. "I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." That sounds real spiritual. I'm just saying, God's not going to fuss about giving bountifully. God is not going to fuss about taking extra care for somebody, but he could fuss if you don't take good care for somebody. And somehow we got this spiritual mind that we're more spiritual the poorer we are, or the more poor we act, or the more frugal. I'm not talking about being slothful in business. I'm not talking about being crazy with things. But come on, liberal giving, bountiful giving, abundant giving. We're God's people. We're supposed to take care of each other. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now, he's worthy of double honor. I'm not saying you ought to give him double honor. You're getting double honor here. He's not going to have any more honor up in heaven. I get all that stuff. But if you won't give it to him, it'd be all right. It'd be all right. And I'll preach anybody's church this coming year. I'll preach any of the stuff you go up to. You pass it up. John the Beloved, number one on the list, said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You know that's physical because he says, even as thy soul prospereth. It's physical. This is the one that laid on the bosom of Jesus. This is number one out of the three. This is number one out of the 12. You get what I'm saying? Here's what I think about. It's hard for me to start doing this because I get nervous and I have notes with this. You try preaching in Sri Lanka with a translator and they don't understand what you're saying. And then you get to come here and you're just free to go. It's hard to figure out. You get some of these young people and they see certain people, they hear certain stories, or they read certain books about these men who didn't take care of their families. And think that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's the spiritual route to go. If you're a young, that's a bad route. I'm not saying there aren't sections of that. I mean, God can do. I wouldn't put him in a box say he couldn't do something different. But that kind of life, that's not, people don't make it that way. And I know there's God. I know He's got His hand on everything. But Brother Adam said something about statistics. Look at the statistics of people coming home from the mission field. People don't make it in the ministry. I'm just saying there's something about taking care of each other and being provided for that's important for the ministry. It's the character of God. Taking care of your pastor, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Box or plate, don't matter. Church as a whole, individuals, don't care. But you ought to consider. You ought to consider, is the man that's feeding me and taking care of, see, is he scraping the bottom? Or are we taking care of him? I don't know. I think about these things. I guess position men too right now with coming in this church. You know, my pastor's 70 years old and lived in a parsonage for 31 years. 31 years. He's lived in this house. It's not fancy. It's right there on the property. Everybody comes to the church, goes right by. Got no privacy. For 31 years, he has faithfully stood in that pulpit. And he has preached and been the same man ever since I've known him. Has walked with the Lord, the right kind of spirit, never questioned his testimony. And then when it's time to go, it's almost people want to, some people they just got to just throw them out like last week's bulletin. That don't sound right to me. I mean, we talk about the greatest businesses and where you all want to work and I want to work are places that have pensions and places that have retirements and places that at least match 401k. And here we are, God's people, and we think we're spiritual because we could spend that somewhere else. There's verses in the Bible, you know, if there's a widow in the church, and she's taking care of you and done things, you ought to take care of her. And if your parents, I mean, your parents changed your diapers and helped raise you, and when you couldn't understand what was left from right, and one day that it's going to get reversed, I'm telling you, worse than the Bible says, we're worse than infidels. We just toss it, and then here we have a pastor that has devoted his life, the care of the church, 24/7, been available to visit, held our babies in the hospital, preached funerals for our grandparents and parents, and that we're just going to let this throw them out. And, okay, he's done. Where's the next man? I'm just, we better step back and think about some things. Things that we think are so spiritual. It's absolutely, to me, it's ludicrous. So they taking care of your pastor. I mean, Brother Jimmy just taking care of missionaries. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I'm on both sides. I'll be like, pastor first, missionary for a little bit, come back, pastor again. So I guess you, so I can say some of these things, but it's funny listening to people talk. And, you know, before I ever went to the field, some of the things that I heard that I think are silly, I thought some of those things too. Why is he driving such a nice car? Look at that nice camper they got. Why is he driving such a nice camper? I don't know. Maybe because we got rid of our house and we're all living in it. Now that's our house. It costs $20,000. It's okay. We're living in a $20,000 house. It's all right. These guys, I'm telling you, the young guys, I've seen it. I mean, this is so personal because I know so many people wrote them in my mind. Guys that were taught, go buy the cheapest thing you can. Go get out there on deputation, run as hard as you can. We think that's spiritual, but I don't think it's spiritual. I don't catch a lot of that from reading the Bible. You know what I catch that from? I catch that from a single man doing the work of God. I catch that from a man who didn't have a wife that was willing to sleep in tents, make tents, didn't know where he was going, don't know how he's going to make it. That's a single man without a wife. You know what God says about that? Brother TJ, you got up here and talked yesterday, said, we've been married a year. I was thinking, thank the Lord you've been married at least a year. You know, Old Testament, they were supposed to do that. God had, imagine that. These go conferences and get them out as early as you can, as quick as you can. People aren't, I'm telling you, a lot of people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about how spiritual they're looking and how many missionaries we can produce and our little weak boot camp, how many we got out of there. That's not spiritual. It's dumb. People don't even know how to live in America. They've never even lived in America for a year. You're going to send them on the other side of the world. And you're going to take that wife, and you've been trained that you're going to go. You're going to take that woman to the other side of the world, stick her in a house that she can't go outside because she's white and everybody else around is colored. She's going to get gawked at and catcalled, and she lives a miserable life sitting inside a house, don't have any friends, can't speak the language. And I, man, them women, you know, they can't handle the mission field. That's stupid. We better think what's spiritual. You know what's spiritual? Taking care of your family. Taking care of your wife. Listen, I can say this. Sometimes I hesitate. I don't want nobody to take things. You know, we pound the Great Commission down people's throats. And it is a Great Commission, but that's not really written in the Bible. I mean, I believe it. But you can't find that phrase in the Bible. And we elevate that thing like that's the only thing in the Bible. It's the only thing in the Bible. When God said that, he said that to 11 men. So that you can't pull up any biblical proof that they had any wives. It's weird. And in the same breath he says, and then when you do this, these signs shall also follow. And we're such dispensationalists and such context preaching. Where are all your signs at? How come you're not healing people? I'm for going to all the world, preach God. We did it. So don't question me. I believe in that. But you know what husbands have? They have a Great Commission. It's called husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. So what makes you think that God gave you a commission to drop her to the side while you go do something else? He called us husbands. which are like husbandmen to a field. And you have to attend to the field and take care of the field. That is your field. Just something to think about. I don't know why these women can't handle it. I think I know why they can't handle it. They're married to a dummy. They've listened to dumb teaching. What about our children? I don't know, man. Here's what Jacob said when he was trying to get ready to run to Esau. He said, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender." And the flocks and the herds with them, they're young. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. I mean, I think sometimes Jacob cared more about his cattle than some people care for their children. We won't turn on them at times. I can't even see the clock, so it don't really matter. I don't even have a clock up here. That 1 Corinthians 7, I was going to go there today. That Brother Nathan was over there. This don't go anything against what Brother I was saying last night to do like Paul did. It goes nothing against that. Because we should do it. But he even cut out some pages or some verses to let you know we're not the same. If you want to live that life, go live that life, but live it by yourself. I remember we had to come home because there's this crisis over there in Sri Lanka. It was bad to be there. And then when you had money and they didn't, it was just a bad situation. So we wrestled about what to do. And people were dying in queues waiting for fuel. We came back here and we just came back here, and it was tough trying to wrestle with you know, you got all these people sending you money and you, God's put this on your heart and man, you want to be over there so bad preaching the gospel. But I'm telling you, when you have a wife and children, it's more than just about my ministry and about what everybody else thinks. That part in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about not being filled, being careful, and being married, and all those things. And I was thinking about this, you know, with that curse, the Bible says that her desire shall be unto her husband. That's part of the curse. That's part of the curse. Hey, you can't go anywhere in the world where weeds don't grow because of that curse. You can't go anywhere in the world where men are going to sweat because they work, and women aren't going to experience pain in childbirth. But you can't find a woman on this earth that don't want to be taken care of and please her husband. And I'm just telling you, you young men that read these books and thank God for these men, and they've done more. I know they've done more than I'll ever dream. All that's fine. But I'm telling you, if God's giving you a wife, that's a gift of God. You need to love her. Take care of her. He's giving you children. Man, you ought to take care of them kids. I mean, He is our Heavenly Father, and He knows how to give good gifts to us. So our kids, you know what they see? They see us. And however we treat and our interaction, we're too busy. And I get the ministry and all that. But I tell you, sometimes we think all this is so spiritual. We better think about what we're saying and how we're leading people. Well, I don't know about how that went. I don't know where I'm at in these notes. I brought notes and just messed it completely all up when I'm doing, I don't know, these 4 pages. Well, let me say this and we're done. What time is it? Can you tell me? I really can't see the clock. You really 5:30? You're not sick of this? All right. Let me finish this. Philippians chapter 4. Let me say this. I'm going to finish. Philippians 4, verse 18. But I have all and abound. I'm full. Then he says, having received of Epaphroditus. Paul had to receive the gift. And somebody said this earlier. I thought it was so good. It was true. I already thought about it. It takes a little humility to receive gifts. Me and Brother George talking about this today at lunch. Just happened to be talking about it. It takes a lot of humility to receive gifts. And I think of times where women hand me, I'm talking about, I remember one time this woman handed us like a $5 check. And I'm telling you, you want to crawl under the pew. But Jesus saw that woman that gave 2 mites. It was all of her living. And he didn't stop her. You know what I mean? But I bet he showed up somewhere along the way really soon. And this thing about not receiving anything, like we're too spiritual to receive things, that's an issue. That's not spiritual. I mean, a lot of times we stunt people from being blessed. And it's hard for me. But, you know, we don't ever ask. You know, we're not going to. I'm not going to. Paul asked for money. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I hate it. I hate it. And because of my pride, I most times just will starve probably before we ask for anything. But that's not really spiritual. That's pride. That's pride. And, you know, we're not going to take anybody's money. We're not going to take. You know, you say that long enough to people, people start sending you money because they know you need money. I work for myself, work. We know how hard work you are. You tell us all the time. We know you're a hard worker. We know it. You tell us all the time. We know it. You don't take no money. That's why we know you need it. We send it. Man, I remember pastoring just took the minimum. I remember they wanted to give me money early. I was so dumb. They wanted to give me extra money, and I was so spiritual that I said no. And there's my wife at the grocery store. She's going to the checkout line to get groceries that we need. And it rung up higher than what the budget was. And here's my wife at the grocery store putting things back on the shelf because I'm so spiritual. I'm just saying we need to rethink some things that we're doing. Receive. He did receive. Well, the truth is, in that verse, I'm done. Is that some people, they're so religious and they're so spiritual that they won't receive what God sent. And there's some people that are so full of pride that they won't humble down and receive the gift of God. And we'll do it on our own. But I feel sorry for those people. Because look at verse 18, what it said lastly. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full. Because he had received something that was sent. And the first thing I ever saw when I read that verse, man, that's such a picture of our salvation. Because we were willing to humble down and receive something that was sent. And you know exactly what was a sin. It was an odor of a sweet smell, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It was a sweet smell. It was a sacrifice that was acceptable. And it was well-pleasing to God. And because you and I accepted that, we can say just like verse 18, I have everything. I have all. I got more than we could ever imagine. And then he said, I'm full, completely satisfied because of the gift of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And Lord, pray that you just use what was said for your glory, Jesus.